This morning, Brother Claude read to us Luke's account of the discovery of the fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead. You know, this morning, after the lesson, we will have part in the communion, and all of our minds will be upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the resurrection is not some myth. It is not a fairy tale that was created by man. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a fact. The Bible records at least 9 different appearances of Jesus to other people following His resurrection. There were many witnesses that watched Jesus raise other people from the dead. There were many witnesses that watched the apostles and those who had been given the power of the Holy Spirit as they raised people from the dead. So the fact of resurrection from the dead was not a new thing when Jesus was raised from the dead. There were some 500 plus people who saw Jesus after the resurrection. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 5, he said, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, and then by all of the apostles, and then last of all, He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time." Many, many people knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Many, many witnesses gave words to that fact. You know, under the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15, law was established, guilt and innocence was established by 2 or 3 witnesses that confirmed the truth. "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits," it says. "But by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, the matter shall be established." So if you look at the old Levitical law, which all the people have been under up until this present time, he had more than substantial proof that Jesus had been raised from the dead. What I want to do this morning is I want us to discuss the subject, what Jesus' resurrection proves. You know, we live in a skeptical world. We have to have proof of everything that exists. We have to have scientific proof of matter that moves and things that we see. And you know, they say you can't believe everything you see. And if you watch a magician, you can't, because it's all sleight of hand. But we think we have to have proof for everything, and that takes away from faith. The word resurrection literally means to stand again. When a man dies, he falls to the ground and is ultimately buried. When one is resurrected, he stands again as a living person. Now, you and I both know that there is not a human being who has power over death, at least not since the days of apostolic miracles. However, God can. God can raise the dead. Peter spoke of this as a witness, Acts chapter 2, verse 24. He is talking to the people on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." It was not possible that Jesus could be held by death. Therefore, he was resurrected. In fact, Jesus himself told Martha on the occasion of Lazarus' death In John chapter 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He is letting it be known, I am the resurrection. I will raise from the dead. And it takes a tremendous power, power that comes from God. This power involves power over death. This involves power over the Hadean world that we read of in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It involves power over Satan himself, who has brought death into all life since time began. So resurrection proves the power that God has to raise the dead. The resurrection also proves that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, there are many proofs to us that Jesus is the Son of God. First of all, there is the virgin birth. There is the declarations of God Himself recognizing Jesus as His Son. We have two occasions of that. The many miracles that Jesus performed in public that was seen by many people, including raising people from the dead. Probably many more than we have record of. The sinless life that Jesus maintained throughout His life on earth, which is something that no other man or woman has been able to duplicate. Many things have been giving us proof that Jesus was who He was. However, none of these things means anything had Jesus not raised from the dead. All of these things would be meaningless without the resurrection. The virgin birth claim would have been meaningless had Jesus not rose from the dead, particularly in today's time, because today, through modern medical science, man has the ability to replicate a virgin birth. Many times in the Bible, people claim to have been the Messiah. Today, people still claim to be the Messiah. Without the resurrection, Jesus' claim would have just been another one of those. And without the resurrection, Jesus' bones would still be in the tomb. So Jesus' resurrection proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus proves that He is the Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus proves that God's plan is operative. It proves that God's plan works. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and if Christ had not been risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. And then on down in verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet still in your sins. Preaching a resurrected Christ was the method that God chose to save the world. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. To be saved, we have to develop a faith in the resurrected Christ. Romans 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This message is not true if Jesus had not been raised from the dead. Your faith would be a pseudo faith, a false faith, and you would still be in your sins. But the fact is, Jesus was raised from the dead. And with the resurrection, there came a new covenant, a new agreement between God and man. With the resurrection, there came forgiveness, which was something the first covenant could not give. With the resurrection, there came the church, the institution, the body of Christ that you and I are a part of today. With the resurrection, we now have a mediator between God and man, that being Jesus Christ Himself. And with the resurrection, there is eternal life. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus speaking here, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Jesus is speaking at the difference between life and death, and that difference comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this death that Jesus is mentioning here is basically two different deaths. He says, though He were dead. This is talking about the spiritual death that every one of us is experiencing outside of Christ. We are spiritually dead outside of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses of sin. This is the second death. This is the death of the devil's hell. The death in sin. And we can overcome both of them because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And we have to develop a faith that will maintain in our lives so that we can have that life. The resurrection of Jesus proves that man will be resurrected. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection of mankind. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23, for as in Adam all die, so even Christ shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. You know, the term first fruits is a farming term. It is talking about the first of the fruit that shows up on the vine or on the tree or on the plant. And you will always have first fruits when you plant vegetables or fruit. But the first fruits is an indication that there is more to come. There will be more fruit at the harvest. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, with a promise that there will be more who will be resurrected from the dead, never to die again. Other passages promise the resurrection of all. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Oh yes, we will rise again. We will see our King face to face. We will be judged by our King. And if our faith is right, if our love is right, if our Christianity is right, then we will be allowed to live with Him because of His resurrection. Then the resurrection proves that God cannot be defeated. I want to tell you, my friends, I'm standing up here and I'm looking over a crowd of people who are defeated. We have all been defeated in one way or another in life. But I'm also looking at a crowd of people this morning who, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, are undefeated, who cannot be defeated. Because the faith is there, the love is there, the service is there, the godliness is there, the Christianity is there, and we will not be defeated. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ever since Satan's fall, he has tried to triumph over God. In the Garden of Eden, with the first man and woman, Satan attacked God's creation in an attempt to turn man away from God. He infiltrated the world in the days before the flood, where hatred and evil existed in everywhere on the face of the planet except in the lives of one family. with Israel and their sin in the wilderness. And they had to wander for 40 years because Satan infiltrated them and brought sin into their hearts. The idolatry, the captivity that Israel faced. The attempt of Jesus' life on the part of Herod when he was born. Jesus' temptation himself in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan attacked the Son of God personally. And the crucifixion, where Satan worked with the people to nail Jesus to the cross. All of these things in an attempt to triumph over God. But you know what? Satan was defeated long before these things happened. We can go back to Genesis 3 and verse 15 and we can see Satan's defeat. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God is telling Satan right here in front of the first man and the first woman who had given in to him, I beat you. I won. Because I'm sending my son, who is going to undo all of the evil that you have done and all of the evil that you can do. And it's going to come through the resurrection of him. You and I are here today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I are here today and can be in heaven tomorrow because God cannot be defeated. But it took the death of Jesus on Calvary. And the things that Satan has done on this earth, the brief victory, is all going to cease because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our conversion is tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I today can have salvation because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John chapter 11, verse 25, He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But I have to tell you this morning, my friends, this is not a faith-only salvation. So many times we hear it preached, salvation by faith only. It'll be preached today all over the world. There is so much more to our salvation, though, than just faith. We must repent of our sins. Jesus has said this, Luke 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is coming from the Son of God. There has to be a change. We must confess the resurrected Christ. We must know that He came forth from the grave. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have to have that faith. We have to confess that. We know that Jesus came forth from the dead. We must come forth from the watery graves of baptism. We must be in the likeness of His resurrection. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, so shall we be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Everything that we are, everything that we have, every promise that we have been made is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can face judgment differently than those who do not have Christ in their lives. Because Christ faced death and overcame death, that means that we too can face death and overcome death because He did. And the resurrection proves that. My question to you this morning is this. Are you ready for that judgment? Are you ready to be judged by the one who was resurrected from the dead? This morning, if you are not a Christian, we give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. This morning, if you are a Christian who has walked away from God, we give you an opportunity to come back to Him. Remember this, everything that we are, everything that we have, is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.